The Devil You Know by Sandy Mitchell. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, Jonathan Keeble, Harriet Kershaw, Angus King, and Toby Longworth. Directed by Christian Dunn. Though Cain encountered the so-called Dark Eldar several times in the course of his career, witnessing both their refined sadism and utter lack of scruple from far closer at hand than he would otherwise have liked, one such incident stands out among the rest, not least because, for a short while, he found himself in uneasy alliance with one of them. An arrangement, needless to say, which both parties soon came to regret. As ever, I've been content to let his own account speak for itself, apart from the occasional explanatory footnote and the interpolation of material from other sources when required to place things in a wider context than his habitually self-centred narrative provides. Amberley Vale, Ordo Xenos.
As our shuttle approached the glowing emerald sphere of Diadem Sextus, I found myself thinking how tranquil it looked, although I knew perfectly well it was nothing of the kind. Practically every square centimeter of the world's surface, apart from the shallow, stagnant seas, was choked with vegetation. Trees the height of Habspires clawed their way out of the lower canopy like reefs jutting from a green, choppy ocean, the titanic bowls of which our pilot made sure to give a wide berth to, wary of what might be roosting within them. Almost a vertical kilometer of savagely contending plant life separated the smooth-seeming surface beneath us from the forest floor below, swarming with wildlife of such staggering ferocity that only the catacans garrisoning the place could possibly feel at home. And now, the Tyranids had arrived, drawn to that rich agglomeration of biomass as surely as Crute to Carrion, whereupon desperate battle had been joined on a death world suddenly 1,000 times more lethal than it had been. The only bright spot I could see was that the bulk of the system's population were safely tucked away in the heavily defended hives of the industrial moons, although that advantage wouldn't remain with us for long. If the Nids succeeded in stripping Sextus bare, converting its billions of tons of flora and fauna into living weapons under the control of the hive mind, the resulting tsunami of genetically engineered foulness would sweep all resistance aside as casually as a hand swatting a gnat.
Which, given the amount of material being produced in the forges of the Diadem system, would effectively cripple the Imperial war effort across half the subsector.
A situation so desperate that it clearly required the presence of a hero to turn the tide. Unfortunately, what it got instead was me.
Oh, it looks awfully green down there, sir.
It's not classified as a death world for nothing, Jürgen. If the Nids or the wildlife don't get you, the plants probably will.
Just so long as the ground's solid.
Beacon acquired, sir. We're on final approach. Evade! Evade!
What the hell?
Landing zone's under attack. We've a flock of gargoyles on our tail.
Can you pick them off with the point defenses?
If I can't, we're in trouble.
That's a relief. I thought we already were.
Hang on!
I am, sir. Just about.
We're breaking off. Resuming final approach.
Throne be praised.
Ground's solid enough for you.
Give me permafrost any day, but it'll do.
The outpost was pretty much what I expected. A couple of sky shield landing pads, their blocky supporting pillars raising them above the scorched surface of the jungle floor, where a couple of thermobaric warheads had been employed to create a clearing large enough to erect a couple of bastions and a cluster of prefabricated blockhouses, no doubt used for storage, mess rooms and barrack blocks. Our heavy dropship was too large to take advantage of the fortified platforms, however, setting down in a clearer zone a few score meters to the south of them, where, judging by the carpet of fresher ash and the absence of green shoots already forcing their way through it into the light, it, or others like it, were frequent visitors. Jürgen and I strode away from its boarding ramp as steadily as we could, while squads of heavily muscled catacan troopers hurried forward, accompanied by a couple of sentinel power loaders, eager to loot the cargo hold of its desperately needed stores and ammunition. Behind them, at a more leisurely pace, as befitted his rank, came the colonel in charge of this impressive display of military might, surrounded by the usual coterie of subalterns, aides, and specialists, one of whom was an Ogryn bodyguard. For a moment, I thought he looked a remarkably stunted member of his subspecies, before my forebrain caught up with my eyes, and I realized he was perfectly normal, insofar as that adjective can ever be applied to an abhuman. He merely looked smaller than usual because I'd initially registered the catechins surrounding him as of average build, instead of the greater stature common to natives of that hellish world. They towered over Jürgen and myself as they approached, like slabs of corded muscle, and the colonel held out a hand which looked strong enough to arm wrestle an orc with.
Commissar.
Colonel. I took it without hesitation, having played this game innumerable times in the course of my career. We closed our grips simultaneously, my hand suddenly feeling as though it had been enclosed in a waste compactor. But I kept my expression neutral and was gratified to see a flicker of surprise in the colonel's eyes as my augmetic fingers took the strain and returned as good as they got. After a moment, he let go, and we nodded at one another with all the courtesy we could counterfeit.
Sorry you didn't get a smoother landing.
We've had worse.
And this is...
My aide, Gunner Jürgen.
The attacks are getting more frequent and more determined. It was just a few creatures at first, easy to drive off. But every time they come back, there are more of them.
They're testing your defenses, looking for weaknesses.
Then they'll be disappointed. Every man here grew up surrounded by worse things than these. It's just a matter of time before we hunt them down and eradicate the lot.
I admire your determination, Colonel. But I've fought Tyranids before. Whatever they look like, they're not just mindless beasts. They're directed by an intelligence greater and more malign than anything else in the galaxy. And it learns and adapts at frightening speed.
Not fast enough to get the better of you, though, it seems.
Far too many good men haven't.
I think you'll find we've a lot more going for us than luck.
Let's hope so.
Just got the latest technical data lined up in the hololith, sir.
Good. Perhaps this'll set your mind at rest, Commissar. As you can see, we're fortified in depth, with outer defensive lines here and here. Emplaced heavy weapons with overlapping fields of fire and minefields on our flanks. None of the attacks so far has got through to the inner compound.
Not even the gargoyles. In my experience, anything with wings isn't that bothered by minefields.
Which is why we've got the Hydras stationed here and here. Overlapping fire lanes again. They'll take out anything in the air before it gets close enough to cause trouble.
Till something takes them out.
What was that?
What about burrowers?
Haven't seen any yet, but we'll deal with them if we do. We've got a mobile reserve of chimeras and sentinels ready to get stuck into anything tunneling under our perimeter.
I see. And what are these? Scattered through the jungle, about 10 kilometers beyond your perimeter.
Listening posts, dug in with seismographs. If any burrowers are on their way in, we'll have plenty of warning. Believe it or not, we do know what we're doing.
I'm sure you do.
But...
the real question is, do the Tyranids know what you're doing?